Thank you, Mackenzie. That was so well read. I appreciate it. Let's pray together. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So last Sunday was Pentecost Sunday, and today is what is known as Trinity Sunday. Since we're Trinity Presbyterian Church, you know, this is our Sunday, y'all. Yeah. Hey. But it is the Sunday after Pentecost where we celebrate finally the entire Trinity of God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit that comes into each one of us. And so I want to talk about what that means for you and me to have the Spirit in us, because it's power. It's power. And we forget about it. Maybe we just don't know. But we don't realize that once Jesus Christ has come into your life, that Holy Spirit, that power is in your life. And you can do things that you've never been able to do before. And it reminds me a little bit of the old story about the big elephant who his foot is tied to a tiny little stake in the ground. And he doesn't pull it up. And people go, why doesn't that huge elephant just pull that stake out of the ground? And it's because when he was little, that tiny elephant was staked to the ground right there and couldn't pull it up. And so gave up trying. And now as a big adult where he could pull it up, he doesn't try anymore. And I think a lot of times with us as Christians, we remember days where we really didn't have the power of the Holy Spirit. And we think, okay, that's what we are now. But we do. And the gift of the Spirit is because God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. And it's important to remember that all of this has to do with God being good. Good to you, good to people out there, and good to the people that God is calling you to bear witness to. So we're going back in time from Pentecost. We're going back to, this is actually, if you look it up, the scripture lesson today is the very last paragraph in the Gospel of Matthew, right before the Gospel of Mark starts right there. And Jesus, it's a resurrection account. Jesus has told the disciples that he is going to appear in Galilee, and they need to go from Jerusalem to Galilee, and he'll appear to them. So let's start with the first verse, which is verse 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, in the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Now that to me is amazing, that after all they've been through, you know, and Jesus, all the miracles Jesus did, and Jesus dying on the cross, and then seeing him alive again, that they would still, some would doubt. But then I thought, well, you know, Jim, you probably would. And so, I mean, it's a human tendency to just sort of disbelieve these amazing things. But it's really important that you see that based on what's about to be said, that some doubted, all right? So when some doubted, and then Jesus came and said to them, do the next slide. All authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. All right, and you see those two. By the way, for the radio folks, you should come to church and see this because we got PowerPoint going on. You don't have it on radio. But you see the dark print there. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And then the bottom thing, I am with you always. That is a bracket. That's a bracket. Jesus is bracketing what he's saying with these two things. And it's very important to understand why that bracket is there. Because he's saying all authority, and that word is in Greek is exousia. And exousia means power and authority, or the power to have authority. And so exousia, all exousia in heaven and on earth has been given to me, and I'm with you. If you want to just connect those two together. All that power has been given to me, Jesus says, and I'm with you. Because he's going away, right? And if his 3 years did anything, it's got to be with these 11 that are coming along here, that they had the same power he had. that the spirit in them is the same spirit. And it just goes from generation to generation till it gets to you and me. That we have that authority in us, that we have that exousia, that power. And all that authority in heaven on earth has been given to Jesus. And he says, and I am with you. So don't forget that our God is good all the time. And when God calls you to minister, it's because God is good, not because he's picking on you. And because somebody said this week, and I thought it was so good, that he doesn't call the equipped. He equips those who are called. So as you look in yourself, you may not think you've got much to offer, but God sees so much more than we see about ourselves. God will equip you to do this. All right, so all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, and I'm with you always. That is true. Okay, next slide, please. Then, so power, I'm with you always. It brackets the talks, and he says, we have the power to do his will, and what is that? What is the will that Jesus has for us? Next slide. What is the will of God for us? It's verse 19, and there are any of you who do grammar, this is called an imperative. It's not we go, it's go. It's not we will make disciples, it's make disciples. It's imperative, it's a command. Go, therefore. And see, the therefore is important too, because it says you've got the power. It's right after that. It says, because you have the power to do this, go. Now, next slide, please. And I got a little sarcastic with this, but Jesus didn't ask if it was a good time or if they were dealing with anything emotional or pressing in their life. In fact, it plainly states the imperatives came when some doubted. You know, so they are probably sitting there going, hey, you know, Jesus, I get you. This is great and everything, but it's not a good time. You know, we're so traumatized by your crucifixion. We're not even sure we believe in, you know, what we're seeing right now. How can you expect us to, you know? And I've always, when I have imperatives in scriptures that I got to preach on, I feel a little bad because I know there's a lot of us hurting. You know, I mean, next weekend I'm going to go do the funeral for my friend Jack Becker Saturday and pray for us, please, on that. And, you know, I'm hurting about that. Jack's family's hurting about that. There are people you know around here who are grieving, who are hurting. And so it's kind of like, well, maybe we should just kind of let us all heal and not go. And I want to be clear that there is a time when that is true, that you shouldn't do anything but try to heal, okay? And you have to judge that in your life yourself. You may be in a place right now where you don't need an imperative. You just need to heal. But for most of us, we can do it. We may not feel like doing it, but we can do it. Because Jesus said, I have given you all power, therefore go. Go, try it. And I think in church a lot of times we kind of treat it like a lot of things in our society where it's a service that is provided for us. We come, we have music, we have, you know, dinners, we have book club, you know, all these things. And it's not, it doesn't really invade our lives the way this does. And when Jesus says, hey, you got to go. You can't just sit. You got to go. You got to go. And what is the second part? You got to make disciples. Even if you're doubting or unsure or busy or emotional, go anyway. Just do it. Go and make disciples, and you have my power in you always to do more than you think you can do. So there's no alternative, man, unless you're just recently really, really injured. God is calling us to go out, to go. Now, here's an interesting thing. Next slide, please. The content of this, to go and make disciples, is participles, not imperatives. And so there's two things when you go and make disciples. One is baptizing them, and the other is teaching them. Okay? That is how you go and make disciples. You baptize and you teach. And what is clear to me is that's talking about both me as an individual and we as a church. Next slide, please. Then, because you think about that, baptizing and teaching means you bring them to church. We're the place we baptize right there. That's where we baptize. And we have baptized some people that have been brought here. And that is what the church is about, is you don't have to do it yourself. You may feel kind of awkward. You know, you don't want to be one of these people who's got a little finger in somebody's nose going, you don't accept Christ. Just be their friend. You know, just love them. You know, Jesus says to teach them everything he's commanded. One of the things he's commanded is loving people. If you act to them the way Jesus commanded, they're going to sense something's different with you. And then if you invite them to church where they can be baptized, we will also teach them to observe everything that Jesus commanded. But that's part of it. It's both you as an individual and the church as a church. I want to talk about a friend of mine that's happened. Being a pastor, you have more opportunities than as a layperson just because of, you know, this is the job part of it, really. But when I was in college, it wasn't my job. I was in a archaeology class at Wake Forest, and I was assigned, everybody was assigned digging partners because we had to dig up these unmarked graves. And my digging partner was a girl who was a senior in high school who was going to Salem Academy, which was there in Winston-Salem. And her name was Nilla Dudley, N-I-L-L-A, just like the Nilla wafers. That's all I can think of. And so she and I had a week to dig a 6-foot hole, 6 by 3 foot hole in the ground, 6 feet deep. And so it was a lot of work, and you have to bring everything up and run it through a screen and all this stuff. So we got to know each other, and she was really, really smart and really, really funny, and we got to be good friends. And so during that course, you know, she started asking me about my friends, and then I realized she was, you know, she understood I had a girlfriend, but she was kind of boy crazy, and she wanted some prospects. And so, you know, all I'm thinking is like, I wanted this girl to become a Christian. And so I took her to our fellowship. I told her to meet us at our fellowship on Sunday night, which was in a little chapel. So then her eyes were really open to all these good-looking guys around, and man, she's coming. She's a senior in high school, and she's coming. Well, all of us guys, we're like seniors in college. We think, this is a crime. We can't be with this girl. So we had a friend named Steve Childs who lived in Atlanta but came up every once in a while, and he was 17, so he was her age. And so we thought, Steve, you got to come and meet this girl. And so he did, and they hit it off and fell in love, and they got married. And Nella was one of my lifetime friends. And unfortunately, in 2014, she got pancreatic cancer. And this is after we had spent many summers together, and Steve and Nella and Annette and me, and it was such a shock. And so she was diagnosed on the 25th of September of that year. They gave her 3 months, 90 days. Pancreatic cancer is a terrible thing. And so we went and visited her on October 25th. I remember those days exactly because she died on Christmas Day. She died on the 25th of December. But when I was there with her, she said, Jim, I want you to, at my funeral, tell people how you brought me to Jesus. And I was in a lot of denial anyway because I was like, well, Nella, you don't want to talk about the funeral right now. I mean, you know, Patrick Swayze lives 5 years with this and Steve Jobs lived 5 years. She said, well, they didn't have what I have. And she was right. And I said, she wanted me to play the waltz on the piano. And I said, yeah, okay, I'll do that. But, you need to help me remember this because what I remember was it was that fellowship. It was that group of people who were loving you and being a witness of Jesus Christ to you that brought you to Jesus. And she said, well, yeah, it was. But you're the one who prayed the prayer with me. Don't you remember? And I'm like, yeah, okay, yeah, I kind of do. And then I did. You know, and I did remember that she and I, one night, she was ready to accept Christ, and she asked me to pray with her, and I did. And so it's both of those things. It is the church, and it's you as an individual. And how good God was, you know, she was from a very wealthy family that was socialized. Her dad was a pathologist at Baptist Hospital. They had a ton of money. And yet she knew what she needed. And that was the one thing, at her funeral, that was the one thing she wanted to talk about, is about how she accepted Christ. And that, so it's this great good thing. God is good to you, and God is good to these people that you're going to go out and make disciples of. That's how people that have come into Trinity have found fellowship, they found friendship, they find love, they find Jesus Christ here. And that's what's really important, is for you to go, not to say, okay, I'm kind of doubting, because it didn't work with the other ones. They were doubted. That Jesus didn't stop saying that. Jesus says, go and make disciples. And I am with you always. So I think, is there another slide, or are we done? There's one more. Go ahead and go to that one then. Yeah, that's kind of the summary. That should be in your bulletin. Just remember, all power has been given to you. Therefore, go, make disciples. Those are the two imperatives. By baptizing them, getting them baptized in the church, and teaching them to obey all the commands, the command of love. And you can do that in your life, and you can do it here in the church. And Jesus is with you always. You will have his power always. And God is good all the time. God is good. And so, and I'm saying that, not because it's a chant, but because that we need to remember that if you're going to move off a sinner, if you're going to get up and say, okay, I'm going to change something in my life today and reach out, I want you to think about a friend you have that's not churched. Think about what a church could do for them. Think about a relationship with Jesus could do with them. That idea, that person is not an accident in your life. That is by divine appointment that they're in your life. And so that you can hear this imperative to go and make disciples, that person you can make a disciple. And you don't have to be articulate. You don't have to say anything. Just bring them to church. Just ask it. You can pick them up. Bring them to church. Bring them to book club. Bring them to the men's breakfast. You know, just involve them in the fellowship of the church. I'm going to close with a song. This is what I'm doing for the summer. I'm going to try to. Y'all don't know this side of my life very well, that I used to travel and do songs all the time. So I'm going to close with one song. And it's about how we don't always do what God calls us to do. But God is always good to us anyway. That we can fall away, and God still keeps being good to us. And that's the good news to share. When people think of an angry God or a mean God, to think, here's the gospel. God is good. And we used to pray that little prayer, God is great. Remember that? God is great, God is good. And that's kind of where this came from. God is great and God is good. We thank you for much more than food. Though we don't do the things we should, you still are great, you still are good. God is great, and God, you're kind. We thank you for that peace of mind, that though we fall from time to time, you still are great, you still are kind. Sometimes when we follow, it costs us. Sometimes we whine and complain, but all that we've lost is nothing when compared to all that we have gained. So now we offer thanks and praise. Our hearts are glow, our spirits raised. And though the evil's off so strong, we know you're right when we are wrong. God, you're great, and God, you're kind. We thank you for this peace of mind. And though we don't do all we should, you still are great. you alone are good. La da da, la da 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 da. And though we don't do all we should, you still are great. You still are good. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you that you think of us all the time and that you love us and you love the world. Help us to be able to share your goodness, Lord, with people in our lives. Help us to get up and do something different with our Christianity than we've been doing. Help us to be able to share. And that we pray for this church, for Trinity, that you would help us when people come here to love them and to demonstrate your love for them and heal them and change their lives. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, for the gift of your Holy Spirit and this power that you give us. Help us to realize that power and not be just tied to a little tiny stake anymore. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.